Welcome to week 6. What's up, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer here, as always, on For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. Week 6 kicks off tonight, Thursday, October the 10th, 2024. An NFC West matchup between the Seahawks and 49ers. We'll break that game down, as well as all of the other games here in week 6. Four more teams on bye. We also have a London game again. So, a lot to break down. And, man, the injuries just keep piling on. We had Nico Collins. He's now on IR. Michael Pittman's probably going to be on IR. Wednesdays. I'm recording this late Wednesday night. So, obviously, like, Wednesday practice reports, we can't overreact. But it just feels like every week there's one more key player that's going to miss time. So, it's been rough. It's been a rough season so far. But let's try to get you back on your feet here in week 6, breaking down every single game on the slate, helping you set those lineups. And this can be applied for regular fantasy, daily fantasy, betting, whatever you want to apply it to. Try to go in-depth, break down some matchups for you here on the podcast. Of course, check out FTNFantasy.com for all of your content, tools, projections, DVOA, the advanced stats hub, which I'll reference throughout this podcast and most podcasts, one of my favorite things ever to launch on FTN Fantasy. The rankings also, they get published every Tuesday by myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Scott Spratt, Chris Meaney, Mike Randall, Jeremy Popolars, and updated obviously throughout the week. So check those out. Access the Discord. Discord's been a blast. A lot of fun conversations in there. Check it out, ftnfantasy.com. And once again, thanks to our sponsor for the program over at Circa Sports. Football, we're already 5 weeks in, but still plenty of time to check out the largest pro football contests in Las Vegas. You can enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for the details to join and play the Circa Survivor or the Circa Millions contests today. All right, let's kick it off with Thursday night football. Seahawks at home against San Fran. Both teams a little bit banged up on the defensive end coming into this game. We'll see if Charvarius Ward is active for San Francisco. And Seattle's defensive line, still a little bit banged up. They got some guys back last week, Leonard Williams in particular, but they're still a little bit shorthanded on the defensive line. Let's start with the 49ers side. So Jordan Mason, you're starting him. Little disappointing game last week. Still ran for like 90 yards, but lost a fumble. But still, I mean, how can you be disappointed in what he's done? Second in the NFL with 27 avoided tackles. Fifth among running backs in yards after contact per attempt at 3.4. He has handled so far 43.4% of the team's overall touches. That's any position. Third highest rate. And he's averaging 22.5 touches per game. You look at Seattle with missing some of these players on this defensive line. They've really struggled against the run lately. A couple weeks ago, the Lions running backs, they combined for 118 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. And then Tyron Tracy last week had 130 rushing yards in his first ever start. I guess it wasn't a start, but first ever game with meaningful opportunities. Last 2 weeks, they're also allowing 2.5 yards before contact per attempt. So, yeah, Jordan Mason, you're starting him. Brandon Ayuk finally bounced back last week. Seattle right now is top 5 in percentage of plays in man coverage. Ayuk has always been the preferred wide receiver from this team against man. And last year he was 2.43 fantasy points per target against man coverage. Third best mark in the NFL. And we saw what the Seahawks just allowed to, Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton last week. So starting Ayuk. This is an interesting spot, though, for the passing game. Like, Brock Purdy was a little bit disappointing. What it's come down to is the fact that this offense, it hasn't been as good. Obviously, they're missing McCaffrey, so they are losing that, element in the passing game. Don't get me wrong, Jordan Mason's been great. But in the passing game, he doesn't offer anything close to what McCaffrey does. So they do lose that element in the offense. They've been a little bit banged up. But what it's really come down to is the red zone scoring efficiency. It hasn't been there. Right now, the 49ers, the vaunted 49ers offense, one of the best units in the league, they're having trouble scoring down there. They have the fourth lowest red zone touchdown conversion rate at 40.9%. Only teams that are worse are the Chiefs, Dolphins, and Patriots. That happened last week against the Cardinals, too. And it's hurt Brock Purdy a little bit, who Brock Purdy, I believe, leads the NFL in end zone passes this season. But the touchdowns, he hasn't had those huge touchdown games. He's playing pretty well. But his fantasy scoring hasn't quite been what it could be because this team is struggling to score when they get in close. And yeah, Brock Purdy, 18 end zone throws this season, tied with Joe Burrow for the most in football, but just 4 touchdowns. So that will eventually regress. And the other thing that's interesting about this passing attack is for years, right, we've grown accustomed to this team being the king of yak and just getting the ball in these guys' hands and they make plays after the catch. Hasn't quite been the case for that either. Brock Purdy right now, second in the NFL in intended air yards per attempt at 10. But his 4.0 yards after the catch per completion is easily a career low. It's one of the lowest marks in football. Interesting spot here. Seattle's a team with Mike McDonald there now. They are limiting a lot of the explosive pass plays, but they give up yak. They're actually allowing, I think, the 8th most yards after the catch per pass attempt this season. But they're top 5 or bottom 5, however you want to look at it, in percentage or in deep passes allowed. So maybe it's more of a spot where you say it could be getting back to the short passes and the Debo and the Kittle yak. I'm still starting all these guys, obviously, for what it's worth. But something to keep an eye on this matchup. And Purdy, I think, is still where he kind of always is. Low-end quarterback 1. I think this could be a sneaky shootout. I think it's not even sneaky. I think the total is like 49 points. Both teams a little bit banged up defensively. It's just going to come down to the red zone offense for San Fran. Let's go to the Seattle side of things here. Starting Ken Walker, who, by the way, Ken Walker, like, usually if Ken Walker has a game rushing like he did last week where he has 5 carries for like 20 yards and no touchdown, it's a complete disaster. But he caught like 6 passes. He's run over 60 routes the past 2 weeks, and his target share is way up. It's like a 13-14% target share the last 2 weeks. You know, Ryan Grubbs talked a lot in the offseason and early in this season about being able and wanting to get him the ball in the passing game. They've done that. Now, he's still not playing, like, a lot of the third downs and a lot of the two-minute drill. Most of that's still going to Charbonnet, but if he's drawing targets on early downs, yeah, it's going to help his floor a lot. And you're starting him. DK Metcalf, you're starting him, especially if Charvarius Ward's out, but he's a must-start player. I want to talk about Geno in this spot. So Geno leads the NFL in passing attempts. I think he leads the NFL in passing yards, too. We know Seattle, they're top 5 in neutral script pass rate. There's a lot of talk about Ryan Grubb and how he abandoned the run last week. Like, to be fair, like, they weren't even on the field in offense. Like, at all. So at the start of the game, with the Giants driving down the field, pretty long drive, then they had the 100-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown, so that's a whole drive they didn't get to play on offense, and then they just, the Giants had these long, sustained drives. But Geno's got, he's had good games, like passing, yardage, he had the rushing last week, but he has a ridiculously low 2.5% passing touchdown rate, which is the 5th worst in the NFL. He's 22nd in the NFL in end zone passes, so Purdy, like I mentioned, was first with 18. Geno's all the way down at 22nd with 7. And a huge reason for that is Seattle's been pretty pass heavy throughout the games, but when they get inside the red zone, they actually have the 9th lowest red zone pass rate. So that's hurt. I think with Purdy and Geno, we're close to, like, there's things that are just missing from both their games where we could see both go for like 25 plus fantasy points any day now. So I have Purdy ahead of Geno. I have Geno more as a high-end quarterback, too. But I feel pretty good about starting both guys this week. All right. I think that covers it from that game. A lot to break down. It's a pretty fascinating game when you look at it. Let's get to the second straight week with a London game. Bears hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are, of course, always, like they are every year, in London. I don't quite know what to make of this backfield in Jacksonville. Jeremy Popolars and I were so high on Tank Bigsby last year. Apparently, we were just 1 year too early. And he was awesome. Like, true breakout game from him last week. 100 plus yards, 2 touchdowns. He looks good every time he gets the ball. According to the Advanced Stats Hub, he leads all qualified running backs in yards after contact per attempt at 6.5 and avoided tackle rate at 47%. 6 of his 34 carries this season have gained 10 plus yards. He looks great. He looks powerful. He looks explosive. He looks great. He's obviously got, he had that stretch last game where he played more than ETN. ETN barely played in the second half. It turns out he had a shoulder injury, which is the reason why he didn't play. Doug Peterson was asked about the backfield. He said, you know, when he's healthy, Travis Etienne's still the guy. I don't know if I buy that. Like, I don't think Tank Bigsby is just the quote-unquote starter immediately all of a sudden. I think it's still Etienne. But I fear if you drafted Etienne, this could be a 60-40 situation at best for Etienne. 60 in favor of Etienne, 44 Bigsby, but we know Bigsby's been somebody they've experimented taking short yardage carries, which he's done last year and this year again. You can't not give this guy, like, in my, the way I look at it, if this became what the Bengals backfield's been the last couple weeks with Moss and Chase Brown, that wouldn't surprise me if that's the usage we saw. And if that happens, I mean, what we're reviewing Moss and Brown. Moss, like a low-end running back 2, very low-end, and then a flex play for Brown. That might be where we're at here. The interesting thing here is Chicago's run defense, which was so good in the second half of last season, pretty much the best in the NFL right there with Detroit. So good. They've kind of been a run-funnel defense this season, where 75% of the touchdowns against them have come on the ground. It's the highest rate in football. Right now, they're allowing the third most yards before contact per attempt at 2.5. And 14.3% of the runs against the Bears have gained 10-plus yards. And they've allowed at least 90 yards and a touchdown to each of the last 3 running backs they've played. So we have bye weeks. We have injuries. If you picked up Bigsby, I think you can flex him here. Especially with the shoulder injury. Like, he's been ETN's been limited in practice with it. Like, I don't think they go out and give him 20 touches. So, that's how I view the backfield. The passing game, I don't really want to start Trevor Lawrence. I know he had finally had the good game. That was against the Colts. Everybody goes off against the Colts. Now he's got the London game, which can be weird. Bears pass defense is still one, although they still one to fear, though they did lose, well, at least they'll lose Jaquan Brisker for this game. But just don't really feel comfortable starting Lawrence. Brian Thomas is pretty much approaching must-start territory. He's just really good. We'll see if Evan Ingram's back. It'll be hard to bench him given the state of the tight end position if he is. And then Christian Kirk. Probably a low-end 2 if Ingram is out, and more of a high-end 3 if Evan Ingram is back. Let's go to the Bears, where DeAndre Swift has just completely turned his season around. You know, 3 weeks ago looked like he was somebody we could be dropping in a couple weeks. And to be fair, back-to-back elite matchups against Carolina and I believe it was the Rams. But last 2 weeks, 65% of the snaps, 23 touches per game, 44% of the team's touches, 4.5 targets per game, and he's third in the NFL with 4 goal line carries during that span. Now, Roschon Johnson has 3 goal line carries during that stretch and averaging almost 9 touches per game. But, you know, Jacksonville's overall run defense isn't bad. It's just their overall defense is bad, so there's opportunities for scoring. And they're allowing the 9th most yards, 4th most points, and 4th most plays per drive. Also, giving up in the passing game to running backs, and that's where Swift could really be impactful here. Jacksonville allowing the 3rd most targets at 7.8 and 2nd most receptions at 6.6 per game to opposing running backs. So it's hard to get away from Swift right now. And Roschon's kind of a desperation flex. Should get you like 7 to 10 touches with the chance at a goal line touchdown. DJ Moore's usage last week was much better. He was moved a little bit around the formation. Wasn't just running these vertical routes and kind of comeback routes. He right now is ninth in the NFL with 12 targets against cover one. And Jacksonville plays cover one at the top five rate in the NFL. They play man pretty much at the highest rate. And there's opportunities for Caleb Williams to, you know, expand on what he did last week. Jags allowing the fourth most completions of 20-plus air yards. And Caleb Williams is sixth among quarterbacks in air yards per game at 278. So I think it's a good spot for him. They're still without Tyson Campbell in the secondary. So I think Caleb Williams, a high-end, high-upside quarterback too. DJ Moore still starting him. Rome and Keenan Allen, it's just hard to have any faith. Keenan Allen doesn't look good. Rome's, you know, his metrics, his rates aren't really impressive. It's really just DJ Moore from this passing game right now, and that's it. All right, let's go to Washington at Baltimore. This game could be fun. This is a fascinating game to me. Let's start with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, best quarterback in fantasy. He's been a top nine quarterback every week. He's averaging a league best 0.77 fantasy points per dropback. He's averaging 25.1 fantasy points per game right now. That's his most in a year since his 2019 MVP season. So he's been awesome. And then you look at him and Derrick Henry as a combination. We knew this duo would be tough to stop. They actually have the most combined rushing yards by a quarterback and a running back duo through the first 5 weeks of a season in NFL history. So, yeah. You're starting Lamar Jackson, obviously. He's been unbelievable. The Washington's pass defense has been better the last 2 weeks, but I'm not buying it. It was against Cleveland, and it was against the Arizona game was just they played well, but they won't be able to slow down Lamar Jackson in Baltimore here. Of course, you're starting Derrick Henry as well. Remember back in week one where he scored the touchdown, but his snaps were down and everybody's like, oh man, Derrick Henry, it's going to, you know, Justice Hill and all the, and there was some concern. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, why? Like that was a vintage Derrick Henry game. He scored. If he didn't, he would have been disappointed and they were trailing. Well, since that game, Derrick Henry's averaging 24.1 fantasy points per game, 20 and a half carries, 131 rushing yards per game, and he scored 6 total touchdowns. And that, like last week, it was a weird script because it wasn't a game where like the Ravens were like down like 3 scores or anything like that, but they were trailing. It was back and forth, and you know, Henry got the touchdown early, but he ended up only playing, I think, less than 10 snaps in the second half because they were a little bit behind in throwing. So it could have gone bad for him, but like Washington's playing really well. Do I expect him to be up 17 points in this game? No. Like Derrick Henry is starting him, obviously. And the Commanders still a team you can run on as well. 18.9% of the runs against him have gained 10 plus yards. That's the worst rate in the NFL. And they're allowing the ninth highest avoided tackle rate at 22%. And then finally, Zay Flowers. Like he's had a couple disappointing games. Those games have come when the Ravens have had less than like 20 dropbacks. Look at the games, the 3 games this season where the Ravens have been in competitive contests. Zay Flowers, 10, 11, 12 targets, 27.3% target share during that span, 34% first read target share. Commanders, yes, have been better lately, but still allowing 84.4 yards per game to opposing wide receiver ones. So Zay Flowers, really, really solid wide receiver 2 play for me. Then there's the tight end situation. Mark Andrews showed some signs of life, over 50 yards. Had some catches. One catch would have been all he needed to see, but it was somehow still a tilting game. He should have had a touchdown, wide open on a wheel route. Lamar underthrew him a little bit. Andrews had to kind of come back to the ball, and it was like a shoestring catch. He ended up falling over a little bit, couldn't get back up and score, down at the 2-yard line. Very next play, Charlie Kohler scores. And leading up a drive before that, I believe it was, 50-yard pass to Charlie Kohler, touchdown Isaiah Likely, first of his 2 touchdowns in the game. And overall, Mark Andrews still only ran a route on less than 50% of dropbacks. He ran 11 fewer routes than Isaiah Likely. So, Likely should be the highest-ranked Ravens tight end. Andrews, it's just the routes. Like, he's literally run, like, in a game where they threw the ball 40-plus times, which is very rare for the Ravens. We know that. He still ran less than half the routes. It's just astounding to me. So, absolute boom or bust tight end 2 with seemingly no floor. And Likely is probably the same, honestly. It's just you rank him higher because he's running, you know, more routes. For Washington, Jaden Daniels, the only player averaging more fantasy points per game or per dropback than Jaden Daniels is, of course, Lamar Jackson. Daniels is at 0.66 points per dropback. He's been fantastic. And the last couple weeks, we finally seen him throw the ball down the field more. Last 3 weeks, 14.1% of his pass attempts have traveled 20-plus air yards. Through weeks 1 and 2, that was only 5.7%. And the Ravens right now, they're allowing a ton of explosive pass plays. Second most air yards per game at 308.5. Third most yards per attempt at 8.1. And the second most completions of 20-plus air yards with 10. They also allow the most receptions and yards off go routes, which is good for Terry McLaurin. Six of his 36 targets this season have come off go routes, and he's just been overall more involved lately with a 27% target share over the past 3 weeks. And after what Jamar Chase just did to them, the Ravens now allowing the most receiving yards per game to opposing wide receiver ones with 102.3. So should be a really high upside spot again for the duo of Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. And finally, the backfield, Brian Robinson Jr., on the injury report throughout the week, he ends up playing. Between the injury and the game script, he was limited, but scored 2 touchdowns. Didn't practice again on Wednesday, so I don't know if he's going to have this full workload again. The matchup is terrible. The Ravens have been so good against running backs. So Robinson Jr. would be a low-end running back, too, if he plays, which I expect him to. And Eckler, PPR, kind of okay flex play. But he's looked good. Like I said, Austin Eckler looks good. All right, we will take our first break when we return, breaking down the rest of Week 6 here on the podcast. Arizona at Green Bay. Indianapolis at Tennessee. That'll be a fun, interesting game, especially with the injuries we've seen, and a whole lot more. We'll break it all down when we come back. And we are back. Green Bay at home, hosting the Cardinals. I am not a fan of what we're seeing from Marvin Harrison Jr. right now. He was drafted pretty much at the 1-2 turn, right? The very latest, like middle of the second round, at the very latest. With the thought that he would be this 27-30% target share receiver, playing in a good offense with a good quarterback. The problem has been Drew Petzing's usage of him and scheming him open. It's been a problem. Marvin Harrison Jr. right now, 25% of his targets are coming off go routes, and he ranks second in the NFL, averaging 14.1 yards before the catch per reception. Only Alec Pierce is averaging more. Seemingly everything he's getting is deep down the field, back shoulder fades to the sideline. Like he has no opportunity to make plays after the catch. Because if his targets aren't coming 20 plus yards down the field, they're back shoulders to the sideline. So it makes him suddenly a boom bust wide receiver 2 instead of this like high floor, high ceiling, top 12 receiver that we thought we were getting. Kyler's also, you know, it's been like a year sample now of him being a little bit underwhelming throwing the deep ball. And there's been a lot of these back shoulder throws that he and Marv haven't been on the same page. And that can come with time, and the usage can change with time as well. But I don't love that role for him, especially when he has to face, you know, premier corners. If Jaire Alexander plays, that's not a good spot for him. So it'd be hard to bench him, but like, I think the FTN Fantasy Twitter account actually tweeted this today, but like, who would you rank higher the rest of the season between the rookie wide receivers, Brian Thomas Jr. or Marv? I probably still lean Marv, but I think it's a conversation to be had. I really don't like the usage we've seen from him. The rest of this team, James Conner, starting him, he's getting a ton of work, averaging over 18 touches, per game, playing nearly 70% of the snaps. You can definitely run on Green Bay. The only team that really hasn't been able to this year has been the Titans in that weird game. So I'm starting Connor, obviously. Kyler, at least 45 rushing yards in all but one game this season. So he's had, you know, the huge game against the Rams. He was pretty good last week. It's been like, if he can sustain what he does in the first quarter and the first half of games and throughout the entire game, he's going to have these massive games. Still starting him. And Trey McBride leads all tight ends and targets per out run at 27%. So you're not benching Trey McBride, obviously. And he should have had a touchdown last week. For the Packers, good spot for Jordan Love and company again. Jordan Love, when not pressured this season, 65% completion rate, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, 4th highest yards per attempt at 8.8. Cardinals, with the 4th lowest pressure rate in the NFL at 15.9%. So that's good. Jaden Reed, must-start player. He's been fantastic. Like, he's been as good as he's been, and he's like outside the top 40 receivers and targets. Obviously, he'll get the 2 to 3 design rushing attempts per game, a la Deebo Samuel. But he's making plays on the field. He's making plays after the catch. 4th in the NFL right now in yards after the catch per reception at 8.4. So that's good. And when he's played with Jordan Love, he's been awesome. Finished as the wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, and wide receiver 26 in fantasy those weeks. He's still 9th in targets with pre-snap motion. Cardinals allowing the 5th most yards per target and a 39.6% open separation rate off plays with pre-snap motion this season. And now I know what you're thinking. Adam, what the hell do I do with Dontayvion Wicks? I picked him up last week. I thought he was a smash play. And I'm right there with you. I had him as a player you had to start. And the process was there. He played 76% of snaps. He ran around on 83% of dropbacks. He had 7 targets, but only caught 2 passes for 20 yards. Had some issues getting on the same page with Jordan Love deep down the field. Continues to have issues with drops. Drops are pretty much overrated for the most part, I would say. If he's getting his opportunities, we know all 3 levels of the field, he's a good route runner. So I expect him to continue to see targets. Now, Christian Watson was seen practicing on Wednesday. And Romeo Doubs will be back. He had the 1-game suspension. That's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, wouldn't feel as confident in Dontayvion Wicks if Watson somehow returns. But when he plays snaps, he's usually good. Like, he's still averaging over 15 PPR points per game when he's played 65% of snaps, at least 65% of snaps. So if Watson's still out, I'd be willing to give him another shot. He also leads the Packers with a 21.2% target share against cover 3, and the Cardinals are top 10 in dropbacks with cover 3. So it's a friendly spot again for him. And then Tucker Kraft, must start tight end. He's just dominating snaps right now. Whether Luke Musgrave plays or not, it really doesn't matter. He's athletic enough to make plays. He leads all tight ends and missed tackles forced. He's awesome. If you picked him up, like, he's, 2 touchdowns last week, he's a must-start player. And obviously Josh Jacobs is as well. And more of a normal game for the Packers last week. He, got a lot more of the overall share of the backfield touches. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. This game is really interesting. And I was really excited about this game because I knew these teams played each other before last week. And then the Derek Carr injury kind of messes with things. So Derek Carr is going to miss at least this game, probably a couple weeks with the oblique. Spencer Rattler is going to start, and I'm pretty excited to watch him. But obviously you have to at least right now consider this a downgrade for Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. It's really fascinating with the change in quarterback for this offense because, like, if you started Chris Olave last week against the Chiefs and you were just watching the game saying, why is he not getting the ball thrown his way? That can happen with Derek Carr because this offense, for the most part, they don't really throw the intermediate parts of the field. Like, it's still a work in progress with Clint Kubiak. It's better with the uptick in pre-snap motion, play action, and stuff like that, but it's still a work in progress. And Derek Carr last season, he was top 5 in percentage of passes 20-plus yards on the field and he was top five in checkdown rate. Right? That's what he does. And it's especially what he does when he gets pressured. And the Chiefs blitzed the hell out of the Saints last week because A, Spags, that's what he does. And B, the Saints' offensive line is really beat up right now. Now you face Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles and his blitz-heavy defense against a rookie quarterback making his first career start. That worries me a little bit for Spencer Rattler. Not that we're starting Spencer Rattler in redraft leagues, but obviously it impacts Chris Olave, etc. There was actually a clip of Rattler with the media talking about how he loves Chris Olave and his job is to, when he sees him, just get him the football. So hoping for a nice 10-target game from Olave because the matchup's still really damn good. Like Tampa Bay, we saw their defense, that soft-ass zone coverage against the Falcons last week where Kirk Cousins had over 500 passing yards. Drake London crushed them. Darnell Mooney crushed them. Now, they're not going to be that bad, and Spencer Rattler's not Kirk Cousins, but like, just from a matchup perspective, it's still a good enough spot where Olave and Shaheed can still be good. I just don't know what we're going to get from Spencer Rattler. Like, is he going to be... is it going to be more of a schematic thing with him where it's like, okay, check it down to Kamara or throw deep to Rashid Shaheed? Because that was what... that's what Derek Carr did, man. Again, like, so many of his pass attempts, 20-plus yards on the field or checkdowns. This year, 16.4% of Carr's pass attempts, 20-plus air yards, second highest rate in the NFL. So, I don't know, man. Like, do we think Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed suddenly fall off a cliff like Tyreek and Jalen Waddle have in Miami without their starting quarterback? It's possible. But, like, I don't know, man. I just, sometimes it's okay to say I don't know what's going to happen here. And especially when you have this, you know, I don't love the fact that a rookie quarterback's making his first start against Todd Bowles. You know, he can blitz, he can bring pressures from anywhere. But if Spencer Rattler has time and he's comfortable, like, he's going to be able to make throws to Chris Olave and Shaheed. They should be able to get open against the secondary. So right now, I probably have Olave and Shaheed, whereas they're usually like, Olave's usually like a top 17 guy and Shaheed's a top 28 guy. They're probably both like high-end wide receiver threes for me, but also wouldn't be shocked if like they both easily outscore whatever their projections are. But you have to kind of bump those projections down given the quarterback situation. Kamara not practicing with a hand. Assume he plays, and if he plays, you're starting him, obviously. Yeah. Tampa Bay side, Chris Godwin, I like the spot for him a lot. Saints allow the fifth most catches per game to the slot, which is where Godwin plays about 60% of the time. Whether you believe in the Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore thing, he's had these games where he struggled against the Saints. He's also had these games where he's left early due to ejection, injury, whatever. Starting both wide receivers, maybe temper expectations a little bit for Mike Evans, but like Lattimore's not on that Pat Surtain level, not even close. And then the backfield, like, I don't know, Rashad White's limited in practice right now. Last time we saw Bucky get the carry, he fumbled late in the game. Bucks end up losing that game. It's probably going to be like 60-40 in favor of Rashad White, but remember, Bucky Irving's been getting more of the goal line carries the last couple weeks too, so... both flex plays for now. Colts at Titans up next. This game's also really fascinating to me. The Colts are so beat up right now on both sides of the ball. We know their defense is depleted. DeForest Buckner, a lot of these guys, Quiddy Pay, like secondary, like they are so depleted. And now the offense is even more depleted because we'll see if Anthony Richardson plays. Jonathan Taylor, I don't think he plays this week, but we'll see. Trey Sermon got the start last week. He's on the injury report. Michael Pittman with a back. He's now going to be out for a few weeks. Josh Downs with a toe. He's missing practice. So recording this late on Wednesday because I want to get it out before Thursday's game. It's tough. So let's go through the hypotheticals. If Joe Flacco starts, probably a really strong quarterback too. I mean, Joe Flacco's last six starts, he's finished as a quarterback 13, quarterback 10, quarterback 9, quarterback 1, quarterback 5, and quarterback 4 in fantasy. five 300-yard games during that span. Tennessee's been more of a pass-funnel defense this year. Josh Downs, if he plays, he has a 29.5% target share from Flacco alone last 2 weeks, and if he plays, he's going to be in line for probably 7 to 10 targets with Pittman out. A.D. Mitchell becomes an interesting DFS play. Then you have the backfield. Like, Trey Sermon got the start, played 58% of snaps, 4 or 5 snaps inside the 5-yard line, scored a touchdown, had 6 catches. Joe Flacco, checking down like 14% of the time. It's one of the highest rates in football. Richardson's obviously towards the bottom. There's just so many moving parts with this game. Then you have the fact also that Sermon didn't practice. If he misses time, the backfield's pretty much exclusively going to belong to Tyler Goodson, but the matchup's terrible. It's so bad. The Titans are stuffing runs at or behind line of scrimmage 28.3% of the time. It's the highest rate in football. If Richardson plays, you probably rank him as a low-end quarterback one. Obviously always has that massive upside. But do you feel great about him going on the road against a good Titans defense without Michael Pittman, without Jonathan Taylor, and the offensive line's a little bit beat up? Don't feel great about that. Like, easy decision for me. It's close enough to where if you have like Richardson and Brock Purdy or Richardson and Geno Smith, you're starting the Thursday quarterbacks over Richardson just because we don't know. And I would probably rank it that way, especially for Purdy anyway. But we have to just wait and see. Titans side's a little bit easier. Tony Pollard, starting him. Colts allowed the 8th most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. 24.1% avoided tackle rate is the 5th worst. 3.1 yards after contact per attempt, 2nd worst. We saw what Tank Bigsby just did to them. And they're allowing 4.7 yards per carry on power concept runs, which make up nearly 20% of Pollard's carries this season. So great spot for him. Tajay Spears, if you're desperate as a flex play, probably gets like 8 to 10 touches. Colts allow a lot of receiving production to running backs too. So you could do worse. And then wide receivers keep crushing the Colts too. I mean, Stephon Diggs finished as the wide receiver 9 against them. Nico Collins, wide receiver 13. Rome Odunze, wide receiver 7. George Pickens, wide receiver 22. And then Brian Thomas Jr. last week, wide receiver 9. Wide receiver 1s averaging 79.3 yards per game against the Colts. 6th most in the NFL. And we know they play a ton of cover 3. Calvin Ridley, a solid 2.4 yards per out run against cover 3 this season. Looks like Will Levis could be back. I'd probably prefer that for Ridley just because there's going to be more upside. More, you know, home run balls down the field. Ridley's a viable wide receiver 3 with some upside this week. Patriots and Texans. Drake May is going to start for the Patriots. That's cool. I'm still not starting anybody in the Patriots if I can help it outside of Ramondre Stevenson. If he plays, he's a little bit banged up right now with a leg issue. Don't love the spot, but it's hard to get away from somebody that's theoretically going to see 15 to 18 touches. Excited to watch Drake May, but yeah, I'll be picking up and starting the Texans defense in some leagues, that's for sure. For the Texans, they're banged up too on offense. Joe Mixon, he had to have had a setback or something because 2 Fridays ago, he returned in limited fashion in practice. And then the following week, didn't practice at all. And now to start this week, still not practicing with the ankle. So I don't think he's going to play this week. I mean, Cam Akers scored, but it was Dare Ogunbowale getting most of the work. And he's pretty much playing on every third down and every 2-minute snap. And now Damian Pierce is probably going to be back. So outside of like desperation flex and full PPR as a Dare spot, like I am avoiding this entire backfield as long as Mixon's out and Pierce is back. Wide receivers, you're starting Stephon Diggs. And I don't know, man. Like, it hasn't happened for Tank Dell yet, but they're without Collins, man. And like, nobody in this team can replace what he's done. He's literally been the best wide receiver in the NFL this season. But they need him to step up here because they can't run the football right now. Stephon Diggs can only do so much. So, like, I'm in a league where I had Collins and Tank Dell. I'm probably starting Tank Dell this week over Rashid Shaheed. It's close enough. We know the upside's there. And you think maybe Stephon Diggs sees shadow coverage now from Christian Gonzalez, who's just been awesome this season. He did a great job against Tyreek Hill last week. maybe that opens up some more things for Tank Dell. And Dalton Schultz is like in that tight end 10 to tight end 12 range. He's fine, but not too excited about him. Also, if you're playing DFS, like Xavier Hutchinson, he ran plenty of routes. So there's that. But yeah, like I don't see Tank Dell being this quiet for too much longer. Be pretty shocked, actually. Think that'll do it from that game. So let's keep it moving. Cleveland at the Eagles up next. Looks like the Eagles will be close to full strength. AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Lane Johnson all should return from this game. And that makes the Eagles easy again. Like, you just start all the Eagles. You start Jalen Hurts, you start Barkley, you start AJ Brown, you start Smitty, you start Goddard. You obviously temper expectations for Goddard. He's not going to be nearly as good as he's been. He's probably going to have some really bad games when they're at full strength, but who are you going to play over him? Like Tucker Kraft? Sure. If you picked him up, play him. That's probably it, though. AJ Brown, I expect a monster game from him. This Browns defense also just has not been as good this year. Like, they have their problems on offense, but defensively, they haven't been as good either. For Cleveland, like, Amari Cooper has, like, the highest off-target rate in the NFL right now, like 40%. It's been bad. David Njoku returned last week, but was limited. I don't know how much we can trust him fully. The offensive line's a massive problem. Deshaun Watson's taking so many sacks. He's playing terribly. I don't know how Jameis Winston's not starting for this team. I really don't. It's a good matchup for Cooper, but the situation is terrible. Like, Cooper's a boom-bust wide receiver 3. I don't think Nick Chubb will play this week, but if he does, like, flex maybe? I don't know. Like, I don't really want to play Jerome Ford. I just the Cleveland's a mess, man. I just don't want any part of it, if I can help it. Hopefully Amari Cooper gets traded to the Bills or Chiefs or somebody before we know it. All right, moving on to the 4 o'clock games. Chargers at Broncos. This is a really interesting spot for Ladd McConkey. So we know the Broncos play man coverage at like the highest rate in the NFL because they can. They have the corners, they have the pass rush to do it. Ladd McConkey right now, he's been really, really good against man coverage. 7th among wide receivers in yards per out run at 2.8. 54.5% open separation rate and a 24.4% target share against man coverage. His 2.95 fantasy points per target against man, 2nd best in the NFL. And he's probably not going to see much, if any, of Pat Surtain because Surtain doesn't really move in the slot. And that's where McConkey plays 68% of his snaps. That's going to be Quentin Johnson, who probably sees most of Pat Surtain, which he might not catch a ball between how good Patrick Surtain's been. So I think Ladd McConkey, yes, the Chargers want to run the football, but you know, say Justin Herbert attempts 25 passes in this game, I think 10 could go to McConkey. So I like him as a wide receiver 3 in this game. Dobbins, he should remain the lead running back for the Chargers. Before the bye week when we last saw this team, he played a season-high 71% of snaps. Handled 74% of the running back touches. The Broncos defense has been elite. So I don't love this game in general. It's going to be two teams that want to run the football. It's going to be pretty slow paced, but it's hard to get away from Dobbins. He's probably going to see, you know, 17 to 20 carries. And he's playing most of the third downs too. So there's not like, there's upside for like 3-4 catches too on top of that. That's it from the Chargers though. I'm not starting anybody else. For the Broncos, Javonte Williams, he's a flex play, low-end RB2 at best. The usage has been better, but he still keeps losing some touchdowns to Jaleel McLaughlin. Like, and Bo Nix. Like, if they get down to the 1-yard line, they're doing that little, like, Drew Brees-esque leap at the goal line. So, floor is not great, but probably gets you 16-plus touches. Sutton, boom-bust, wide receiver 3. And that's pretty much it from this game. Like, this game's pretty gross. This next game is not gross, however. Detroit at Dallas. Interesting spot here. Two teams that play a lot of man coverage. We know the Cowboys play man a ton. They actually rank 6th in the NFL in dropbacks with in cover one. Amon-Ra St. Brown right now, 3rd in the NFL with a 37.5% target share against cover one. And he's 5th in yards per out run against the defense at 3.7. So that's good. J-Mo, 12th in yards per out run at 3.2. So we know we're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think Jameson Williams, like, his target's gone down each week. He saved you with that 70-yard touchdown last game. But I worry about J-Mo here having, like, 4 targets because with Dallas's injuries and Detroit coming off a bye and then being arguably the most dominant rushing attack in the league outside of, like, Baltimore, I could see, like, the Lions just kind of dominating this game on the ground. And they've clearly shown that when they can, they have no problem doing that. They did it for a lot of the game against the Seahawks. They did it multiple games this season. Cardinals game. And, like, Dallas's run defense has been better the last couple weeks, but they face, what, Pittsburgh and the Giants? Like, this is a different beast with the Lions. And the Cowboys are still allowing the 7th most yards after contact per attempt, a 45.1% success rate against the run, 6th worst. Like, I think Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs could just do a lot of the heavy lifting in this game, slow the game down. And, like, Amon-Ra is going to get his, and Laporta, despite the concerns and the slow start, he's still somebody probably starting. And I'm fine with starting J-Mo, too. Because Cowboys play so much man, they play so much cover one. Like, look at the long touchdown he had against Seattle, the 70-yarder. That was against man coverage because Amon-Ra ran his crosser, got in the way of the defender, and J-Mo was gone. Like, that can happen again against a team that plays so much man and plays a lot of cover one. But I also worry that despite this game having a high total and, like, on paper, it could be, like, a 35-31 type of game, which it can be. Part of me also worries that it's just, like, Detroit just has these long possessions where they run the ball 12 times and Jameis Williams has 4 targets and you have to get the long pass. So he's still kind of a boom bust wide receiver 3, but there's obviously massive upside. And then Jared Goff, he's fine. He's probably, like, behind, right in between that, like, Brock Purdy and Geno Smith range for me. He's playing much better lately. And that's it for Detroit. For Dallas, you're starting CeeDee Lamb, obviously. 27.3% target share against the blitz since the start of last season. Lions, 5th highest blitz rate at 32%. Starting him, you're starting Dak, especially, like, this defense, I don't see them getting many stops here. So I would expect 35-plus pass attempts from Dak in this game. And I like Jalen Tolbert here. First game without Brandon Cooks last week, he played 89% of snaps. He ran 89% of the routes. He had 10 targets, 25% target per out run rate. And he's got a good matchup. Like, the Lions are still a team that you would prefer to have the wide receivers in the middle and the inside. Like, but they struggled against receivers that can kind of do both, right? Cooper Kupp can play both and does play both. Godwin plays a little bit of both. So Jalen Tolbert, like, he didn't just exclusively play out wide in that last game either. Played a little bit on the inside. Going to see a team that plays a lot of man coverage. You'll see some Carlton Davis, who's been better than what they've had, but still somebody we can attack. 5th most yards allowed in coverage at 313. He's allowing a target every 5.1 coverage snaps, the 12th worst rate in the NFL, and a reception every 7.2 coverage snaps, which is the 10th worst rate. Then you have the fact that you look at our DVOA adjusted fantasy points tool. The Lions are giving it up to opposing wide receiver twos as well. According to the advanced DVP tool, which you can check out at FTMFantasy.com, number 2 wide receivers are producing 47% more than average against the Lions this year. It's the 4th highest mark. So, yeah, I like Jalen Tolbert too. Like, if you picked him up, I think you could see 7 to 8 targets again. Obviously, you're starting Jake Ferguson. And then Rico Dowdle, hopefully you picked him up. He's going to have some good weeks. 22 touches last week, season high, 50% snap share. But I'm still worried here. Like, I know Ken Walker had the good game last week against Detroit, but this is still a team that's allowed one running back since 2022 to rush for 70-plus yards, and that was Ken Walker last week. Rico Dowdle is not even close to Ken Walker, and the reason Ken Walker did that is because he had some runs that really only Ken Walker could make, these bounce-out runs, bouncing to the outside, using his speed. But if you're desperate for a flex and just looking for volume, he should probably get 15 touches. Just know that fullback Hunter Lipke is still playing the majority of the third downs. He's played over 70% of the third downs over the past 3 weeks. So just keep an eye on that. But the arrow is definitely trending up for Rico Dowdle. All right, we'll take one more break. When we return, we'll close out the podcast with the last couple games, including the primetime games on Sunday night and Monday night. Don't move. We'll be right back. Steelers and Raiders up next. Looks like Jalen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson will be out again. Definitely Cordarrelle Patterson. Maybe Jalen Warren returns. Najee Harris has not produced with the opportunities he's been given. It's been bad. Still hasn't scored a touchdown. I don't know. I was really high on Harris against the Colts and pretty high on him against the Cowboys, and he didn't deliver. And those are two really good matchups. So if Jalen Warren returns, like, there goes all the third down snaps, which Najee still wasn't playing this massive uptick in third downs anyway without Jalen Warren. So that's a concern in itself. He's, probably going to get, if the game's competitive, he'll still get 18 to 20 carries. We've seen that in games where Jalen Warren's played, but if he doesn't score, and then he loses some of the third down work and passing game work, what are you looking for? 8 points? Get you 20 carries for 80 scoreless yards? That's where we're at with Najee Harris right now. George Pickens had this weird game last week where his snaps were down, and Mike Tomlin said the Steelers were managing them. Why? You have no explosive players on offense other than George Pickens. I don't understand what that's about. He's a volatile low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 against the Raiders. Quarterbacks, Russell Wilson got a full practice in. I don't think it's out of the range of outcomes he starts this game. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then Pat Freiermuth, kind of on that same Dalton Schultz, tight end 10, tight end 12 borderline, scored last week. He's been pretty good for the most part this season. For the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell will start. Devontae Adams will be out and traded. Jacoby Myers is on the injury report. The backfield's a mess. It's really just Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers. Bowers is a must-start player, obviously. Myers has been pretty good the last 2 weeks without Devontae Adams. So if he plays, I think he's a viable flex play, but that is it from this team, and that is it from this game. All right, Sunday Night Football. Bengals at Giants. This game is really, really interesting. A lot of moving parts here. So Malik, still in the concussion protocol. You would think he was going to return, but you don't really know the concussion, so we have to wait and see. Wanda Robinson right now ranks third in the NFL in targets, which is crazy. Fifth with 32 first read targets. Borderline a must-start player in PPR formats, whether Malik plays or not. Bengals, second most points, most yards, and third most plays per drive allowed on defense. The floor is just so high with Wanda right now. And, even if Malik plays, he's still going to get 7 to 10 targets, especially if the Giants fall behind. And the other thing is Daniel Jones is quietly playing pretty well right now. This is the best Daniel Jones played since the playoffs a couple years ago, probably. Daniel Jones looks good since week 3. 7th in completion rate, 11th in accuracy percentage. And he's also targeting his first read 64.9% of the time. That's the highest rate in the NFL, so that'd be good for Wanda Robinson if Malik is out again. Obviously, if Malik plays, you start him, and you feel good about it. Cam Taylor-Britt has been terrible lately. Really, really bad. Tyre Bengals' defense has been bad, obviously, as well. I like Daniel Jones here as a streamer, too. He's playing well. You like him more if Malik's obviously back, but I mentioned the defensive numbers by the Bengals. They've also allowed the second most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks this year at 32.8. And they're allowing 27% more fantasy points per game or 27% more fantasy points on average than average, to quarterbacks this season. You also have the backfield that's kind of interesting. Devin Singletary last week did not play with the groin. The Giants started Eric Gray. He fumbled. And then we saw Tyron Tracy the rest of the way. He looked awesome. 18 carries, 129 yards, 4.9 yards before contact per attempt, which to me, the Giants offensive line is much improved this season, but that's a vision stat from watching his carries. He had great vision. He also had on his 18 carries, four explosive plays of 10 plus yards. So if Singletary's out again, Tracy's a strong running back too. Bengals, still a run defense we can attack. 51.8% success rate against the run is the highest or the worst rate in the NFL. So we'll keep an eye on this, but I think if Singletary does play, Tyron Tracy proved that he can, he should have a role in this offense, especially because like we didn't really get to see what he could potentially even add more to this offense. And that's his work in the passing game. Converted wide receiver. Like he didn't get really many targets last game, but that's still in his back pocket too. For the Bengals, you're starting pretty much everybody. Joe Burrow, he's red hot right now. QB10, QB7, QB10, QB2 the last 4 weeks. During that span, fourth in passing yards, fifth in yards per attempt, and he's crushed the blitz this season. You don't really ever want to blitz Joe Burrow, but especially right now. 74% completion rate, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Giants top 10 in blitz rate so far this season. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously starting him. And T. Higgins. Since making his debut back in week 2, he's averaging 10 targets, 6 catches per game, about 61 yards, and he has 3 end zone targets in that span. Without Tyler Boyd, like they don't really have... Their targets are way more concentrated between Chase, Higgins, and maybe we see Eric Gall as a starter, Mike Gesicki on the injury report. If Mike Gesicki's out, I would love to start Eric Gall. His snaps keep going up. He is towards the top of the all tight ends and targets per out run. He's making plays after the catch. He's been awesome. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. Like, if I'm hurting at tight end, I'm trying to think who's on bye this week. Miami, not really anybody that we really are starting at tight end. Who else is on bye? Minnesota, definitely not. So I guess there's not really a ton of tight ends on bye that were. Kelsey's really the only one. But yeah, I mean, right there, if you need to replace Kelsey, you missed out on Tucker Kraft or somebody, maybe you pick up Eric Gall and see if Gesicki doesn't practice again Thursday or Friday. And then the backfield, very interesting here. Zach Moss suffered an ankle injury last week, returned like 2 plays later, had, I think, a carry, looked really, really less explosive than usual, and then wasn't really on the field in overtime. It was all Chase Brown. Moss, they said after the game, avoided serious injury, but he didn't practice Wednesday. It looked very similar to Joe Mixon's ankle issue. And Mixon's obviously missed so much time now. I don't think it's to that extent, but just because a player returns to the game doesn't mean that it's not a serious injury. Remember, Mixon came back in that same game. So with it being a Sunday night game, it makes it a little bit tough, but if Zach Moss is out, Chase Brown is a top 15 running back. The explosive plays have been there. He can work in the passing game. He'll probably get 17 to 20 touches. I don't really see anybody that would mix in too much. Like Travion Williams is still there, I think. Like, I think this would be 70% Chase Brown's backfield. Giants still run defense we can attack. Bengals offense honestly has been like the best offense in the NFL since week 2. So it's definitely a backfield you want to be part of. And here's the thing too. Even though Chase Brown's gotten more involved the last couple weeks, it's still been all Zach Moss on third down to 2-minute drills. Like 85% of the 2-minute drill snaps, 70%+ of the third downs. That goes to Chase Brown. We're talking about somebody that has a floor and a ceiling. So we'll keep an eye on that. Finally, Bills at Jets on Monday night. We have to keep an eye on the Bills now too. Like Khalil Shakir didn't play last week with the ankle. He's not practicing to start the week. Although technically Wednesday was not an actual practice because they don't play till Monday. So Thursday's their first real practice. James Cook also listed with a toe. I saw that injury. It's kind of a funky injury where he had a back shoulder throw at the sideline, caught it, spun, and then like his toe slammed into the turf. So I'm praying it was more of a maintenance rest day for him. As somebody that loves James Cook, loves the Bills, and has James Cook in a couple leagues, I'm praying it's just minor, but whenever you see turf and toe together, you get a little bit worried. Obviously, if he starts, you're starting him. He's been amazing. I look back, he's now in 12 games since Joe Brady's been the OC of the Buffalo Bills. James Cook has 7 top 12 finishes in fantasy. He's averaging like 16.5 fantasy points per game in that span. He's been really, really good. If for whatever reason he doesn't play, I really wouldn't feel great about starting Ray Davis or Ty Johnson. If I had to choose one, I would lean Ty Johnson, honestly. But Josh Allen would probably run like 10 times in this game. Keon Coleman had the 49-yard touchdown. Other than that, he did nothing. Joe Brady is continuing to struggle to scheme up plays for the perimeter wide receivers. It was maybe a problem down the stretch last year with Stephon Diggs. And Keon Coleman is, I think, somebody like, when they drafted him, Brandon Bean was talking about how like they don't view him as somebody that's going to play in the slot. I disagree with that. Like, I think he can play in the slot a little bit. And he's just like, it's weird because the knock on Keon Coleman coming out of college was he can't separate. So what are the Bills doing? They're pretty much lining him up on the perimeter as far away from the middle of the field, all the way towards the boundary, and just forcing him to win and make contested catches and make back shoulder throws or catches. So I don't want to start Coleman even if Shakir's out. Curtis Samuel has been a massive bust for both fantasy and for the Buffalo Bills. Kincaid's also been disappointing. He had a bad game last week with a couple drops. I'd still probably start him over most tight ends that you could have picked up off waivers outside of like Tucker Kraft, really. And like the thing I worry about this game for the Bills is like, where do they throw the football? Because their wide receivers the past couple weeks against Baltimore and against Houston have struggled to separate. I don't see Keon Coleman and MVS and Matt Collins and these guys separating against Sauce and DJ Reed. That's going to be a problem for me. So by default, and it's not a great matchup because they have maybe CJ Mosley's back and they have Quincy Williams in the middle, but like I feel like a lot of the passing game could once again go through the running backs and Dalton Kincaid. So Josh Allen, I'm not benching, but I actually have him lower than I normally do. He's like quarterback 7 or 8 for me. The offensive line has been the same. And like we got excited about that start for the Bills the first 3 weeks, but this was probably going to happen with stretches of their offense looking bad because they just don't have the same skill players on offense at wide receiver. So we'll see on the injury reports for Buffalo. We'll keep status on that going forward. For the Jets, this has to be the spot for Breece Hall, right? Last week in the notes, I talked about against the Vikings how Breece Hall at the time was averaging 0.4 yards before contact per attempt, second worst in all football. And he was facing a Vikings team that allowed the fewest yards before contact per attempt in the NFL. And it was a bad spot. He's been terrible the last 2 weeks, like 19 carries for 30-something yards. Now he's facing a Bills team that's allowing the most yards before contact per attempt, the most fantasy points per game to running backs, the most targets per game to running backs, the most receptions per game to running backs. Ed Oliver's banged up. Von Miller's out. If this isn't the bounce back spot for Breece Hall, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have one. You're still starting him. I don't even think Braylon Allen's the worst, like, desperation start. Like, we've seen secondary running backs get there against the Bills. Dare Ogunbowale, Justice Hill. I think that's it. But they're just that bad. And if Braylon Allen gets 8 to 10 touches, he can make plays on limited volume against this matchup. And then Garrett Wilson, don't expect 22 targets again, but it's just clearly obvious where the ball is going. Outside wide receivers haven't done a great job outside of Nico Collins against his team, really. But Garrett Wilson, you can't bench anybody with that volume. He still plays in slot a little bit. And Taron Johnson, he might come back, but I'm still starting Garrett Wilson. And Tyler Conklin's a fine tight end streamer, too. He's getting like 6-plus targets every week. He's not wowing you or winning you your matchup, but like which tight ends are. If he's consistently getting like 4 for 40, I'll take that every day of the week. And like I said, Terrell Bernard's back, but he can still target the middle of the field against Buffalo. That will do it for me. Again, keep an eye on injury reports and rankings updates throughout the week. It's going to be a lot. There continues to be a lot. Everybody's getting hurt. It's been frustrating, but it's part of the game. And of course, check out FTN Fantasy. All the content, tools, articles, rankings, cheat sheets, podcasts, FTN Media. You need it. We have it. Basketball starting soon. I'm excited. I'll be doing a lot of basketball work as well. So if you're into that, be sure to be on the lookout for that. Check out the FTN Fast Break podcast with Zach Graham and Mike Randall as well. What are we like? Just over 2 weeks, I think, or something like that. So I'm excited. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to be a part of FTNFantasy.com. So my name is Adam. Best of luck. Hopefully week 6 starts off right for you here on Thursday night. We'll be back next time. Thanks for listening as always. Peace.